Welcome on this first Sunday of the new year. Tremendous to see so many people here this morning, and for us to hear from God already about what He has in store for us in this coming year. But now that the children have left, I want to encourage every parent. Just look at the screen. So only 354 days to go and it all starts all over again. Thank you. I discovered this countdown last year, and because I'm sad, I sat up till midnight on Christmas Eve. And it gets to midnight and it says, Merry Christmas! And it says Merry Christmas all the way through that day. And then when it gets to Boxing Day, it gives you the option. You can either count down to New Year or begin again to count down to Christmas. Amazing. See, I am in need of your prayers. Sad. But we had a great time here on New Year's Eve. And I want to thank all of those who participated in the New Year's Eve bash. It was a really, really good day. The work that goes into these things. And I think everyone here had a really, really good time. And of course, it does mean you've got a job for coming years. Because when you do a good job, you always get it to do again. The way to not get another good job is to make sure you make a mess of it the first time round. But it was a really good time. And I'm looking forward to seeing some of those musicians who have kept their talent very much under wraps. I'm looking forward to seeing you up here on a Sunday morning. We know where you live. So we'll be there. Now, what we're going to do this morning is begin by looking at a text that God gave us last year in January, which is from Isaiah 54, verses 2 to 3. I believe God wants us to build on that for a short while this morning. A very well-known text. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtain wide. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. And last year it was very much in terms of how we as a community were going to connect with regions beyond, how God was challenging us in various ways to get involved and get engaged. This morning I want to build on that and some of the fundamentals we need in terms of addressing our life as a community. God has saved us as individuals, but He has joined us to a community. And that was always God's way, right from the very beginning. As we look at the establishment of the children of Israel, we find that their community lies at the very heart of what God is wanting to achieve here on the earth. And Isaiah, he is speaking into the community of God's people. And he says, it's time for you as a community to take these steps. He's not simply addressing an individual, but he's addressing the people of God. And as a people, we must never forget our identity, who we are in Christ. And things will come in and they will distract us and they will rob us of this particular truth. But we need to always come back to Scripture and what Scripture says about who we are in Christ. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We are His possession. And that establishes a relationship where as His possession, we are here to worship and serve Him. He moves among us in power out of His grace, not because we deserve it, but we are His. We belong to another. And we need to always come back to that particular truth. We are not simply another social club. We are God's people. Jesus at the center. And if you take Jesus out, what are we left with? Prayer becomes wishful thinking. Worship becomes singing songs to four walls. With Jesus at the center, prayer is a conversation with the living God. With Jesus at the center, worship is that encounter with the living God. You know, our prayer as we go into this year should be from that song we sang about, Let Heaven Come. Let heaven come increasingly among us as we gather together. Let heaven come increasingly in our lives as individuals, so that wherever I am, I'm expressing the love and the fellowship, if you like, of the Spirit of God wherever I am. Let heaven come in me, let heaven come in you, and you are in need of that. Oh, you've all gone so serious now. But we are. This is what needs to mark us out. Moses puts it another way. If your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to leave here. This song simply expresses it in a different way. Let heaven come. Because it's out of the presence of heaven that everything else flows. Every healing, every transformed life, every word of prophecy, every fulfilled promise comes out of that transforming presence of God among his people. Heaven touching earth. Let that be our prayer as we head into the new year. As we enlarge the place of our tents, as we stretch our curtains wide, it's that touch of heaven that brings life and the power of God into every situation. Community. God wants us to constantly be pressing on and taking steps forward as a community. We do not settle. We do not live in the good of yesterday, but we press on towards all that God has got for us in the future. Now, last year, many individuals here faced very, very challenging times. And those challenging times are not necessarily over. But generally, as a community, we had an incredible year of blessing. There are many people among us this morning who were just either not with us at all a year ago, or were on the fringes of this community, but have taken steps to be more engaged with us. But that was yesterday. We can't change yesterday. How many of us, if we could, would change something that happened last year? I think quite a few of us. Something didn't go quite according to plan. Something didn't work out. Something left us disappointed. That's why it's important that we lay aside hurts and disappointment for yesterday, because there is absolutely nothing we can do to change that in terms of what has happened. All we can do is change how we respond today and make sure that we press on in the things of God for tomorrow. We press on, recognizing that there is a personal cost to be paid. And the scripture for this one, if you've got your electronic devices, and if you've got your Bibles there, the text you need to look at for the personal cost that is required of those who follow Jesus, it's the New Testament. All of it. Because it's actually full of people who've been called out of this position, out of their comfort zone, into an adventure with God, and there is a cost to be paid. When we look at the lives of those early disciples, we find that many of them paid the ultimate price of their physical life being taken from them because of what they believed about Jesus. When we read that tremendous passage of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and we begin, you know, these incredible statements, by faith we believe, by faith this happened. But get to the end of the chapter. I challenge you, get to the end of the chapter, and you'll find that it's not a particularly pleasant story, because through faith, and because of faith, many of those early disciples of Jesus were being martyred, were being killed in the most horrendous ways. There is a personal cost. And we need to recognize that even though here in this country at the moment we are not called upon to give our lives in terms of martyrdom, we are called upon to give our lives in terms of discipleship. Because being a Christian means I am living for Jesus, not living for myself. He, as I said earlier, has to be at the center. Otherwise, there's no point in us existing at all. We need to be a community who's always ready to press on from what God has done into what God yet wants to do. Because that way, we keep in step with God. You know, there are many sad stories about communities, churches, where 20, 25 years ago, they were a vibrant community. They were a community celebrating all that God was doing. And yet here we are, 20 or so years later, what you find is that that community is now nothing more than a remnant. Over the Christmas holidays, talking to someone who was speaking about their local church, and a community that was one of the main fellowships in the village where it is now no more than 20, 21 people strong, and has a Sunday school of precisely zero children. Do you know, we need to press on. We never should settle. We should never take for granted what God is doing among us. We need to be ready to take that next step, because I never want to look back and think 2014 was the high year. That was the highlight of our community life. I want to grasp the opportunity. 2014 was great, but we as a community can lay hold of 2015, that it is greater still, because God is not finished with us. God's called us to a journey, and he wants us to achieve much in that journey. We have been blessed by growing numbers, and what we're going to do right now is just to recognize some of those people God has joined to us over the last few months. So I'm going to ask Ian if he will take over at this point and introduce, because I know that if I do it, I'll get all the names wrong and I'll forget somebody and they'll be very upset. So, Ian, thank you.
So as a community, we believe in membership and people committing into the local church and the church really committing to them as well. And we have this morning, I've got 13 people we're going to welcome into the church community and celebrate with them. I don't know if they're all here this morning. So you may not actually see 13 people at the front, but we're going to welcoming the people who are here. I'm going to ask them all to come up, and they are going to just sort of introduce themselves, say a little bit about themselves, and then at the end of the meeting, we're going to get people to pray with them. The ministry team, if they're in your small group or you're friends with them, we'd love you to come and stand with them and pray for them. And we will really bless God and thank them and pray into their lives that this decision will be a good step for them to go forward in God. So, Alan said about introducing them. I should read the names out. It's easy. Peter and Claire, Roderick and Esther. If you want to come down the front, guys. Andrew and Karen, Jonathan, Tony and Claire, Peter and Becca, and Sunil and Shanti. Shall we welcome them by applauding?
You set us off. I'm Roderick. This is my wife,
Esther,
who laughs a lot. I've forgotten. Sharp. We've been coming here 7 months, and we've popped in a few times in the year or so before then. We're ex-Anglicans, isn't that right? And we live in Charlesgate, Claypath End. And we've got some kids here in the children's work, and one sleeping over there. And we're really thrilled to be here and have joined you and excited about what's happening here and what God's doing with us already here. And I got baptized a few weeks ago as well.
Yeah, we're really thrilled to be here, and it really feels like home already. So thank you for welcoming us.
I'm Peter. Sorry, Claire can't be here, but she's just the same as me. We're pleased to be here, pleased to be part of it. Peter's also part of a family here, being with all yous. Apart from that, it's wonderful.
Hi, I'm Claire, and this is my husband, Tony, who can introduce himself in a moment, but I'll just help him on his way. We live in Sherburn Village, and we've been connected to the church for a few years now. We're very involved in outreach in Sherburn Village, so hopefully that will carry on as we become members.
Thank you, my dear. You've said it all. I'm stuck for words, I'm afraid. Well, you did such a good job, Claire. I'm going to pass this on.
Hello, my name is Karen. I'm married to Andrew. We've been coming along here for 6 or 7 months. Every week that we're here, that we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we really love about this church.
Well, I'm Andrew, married to Karen, and that's about right. She's absolutely, we've got two daughters over there, Ellie and Faith, who are hiding at the moment, so there we go. We live in Eshwinning. I suppose I've been a Christian since 1986, and Karen since 1993, or thereabouts, when we met and got together. Been married since 95, and moved up from London in 2000, I suppose, and we've been coming here, as Karen says, on and off for about 6 or 7 months, and we're just thrilled to be here, and thank you for having us. Okay.
I'm Becca, I'm married to Pete. We have two little girls who love coming to the Sunday schools, they really fitted in well. We've been coming to this church for two and a half years, something like that, and we really feel that God's brought us here, met some lovely friends, and feel very happy to be here, and we're just really privileged to be part of the family, and we want to give back as much as the lovely things that we receive. So yes.
Hi, I'm Pete. I'm the brunt of some of Alan's jokes. I'm a PE teacher, so and you may know me from enjoying catering side of things around church as well. So I just want to say, I won't take long, but just want to say a quick thank you, really. I was just sitting there thinking, you know, it's easy when you're part of church. We were church for about 10 years in one church, and we did a lot of stuff there before we came here. And it's easy when you're part of a church to kind of, for a long time, to focus on things that maybe didn't go right, or things that didn't work out, or the negative aspects, or things that have happened over the years. But I just want to encourage you that since we've been here, we've just met so many wonderful people. You know, we've had nothing but friendship, love, acceptance, found caring, compassionate people who really love God. So that's been our experience completely in the last 2 years. So just an encouragement to all of you out there who are part of this. It's a wonderful place to be. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Jonathan. I've been coming here about two and a half years now. Just a bit about my background. I originally became a Christian early on in my university days. Now, that would have been before 2000 when I was baptized, because I was baptized, I believe, in 2000 during my first university degree. I'm actually managed four altogether now, so. Anyway, I thought I was just going to be coming here for a season at first, but it looks. But since I'm likely to be staying in the northeast for the foreseeable future, I decided now would be a good time to join. It's two things I noticed about Manuel: one, to the love, and the other one's one of the few places to have actually an open vision, which was going as recently, which I noticed was still going this morning. So, yeah.
Well done, that's really good. Didn't they do well? And aren't they lovely people? I'd just like to pray over them if we could all kind of stand and pray as well. So someone stretch out your hands. I just want to pray over them. And then at the end of the meeting, we'll have an opportunity, we'll get them all up again, and people can gather around in the small groups and friends and just pray over them as well. But as a whole group, I want to pray for them now. Father, we thank you that at the beginning of this year, we can see you add so many people to this community to achieve the vision that you have given us in God. And we thank you that you are resourcing us in this way. And we receive these gifts of God from you now. And we say, quickly establish them even more into the church. Give them jobs to do to serve your glory in this place. And that the church goes on from strength to strength and see many other people added to give glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
What we've just done there, you know, we should never take for granted. We do believe that each person God adds to us is a gift of his grace. And we are very thankful to God that we can share in this experience together this morning. But just two things. One, a word for Roderick and Esther. You know, when he says, we have some children. He's got five. Now, Esther, there's only another three and your quiver will be full. And the other thing that strikes me, I'd love to meet all these wonderful people, but never mind, we won't go into that. One of the things that God said to me about this morning is, as we seek to build community, we do it by building communities within the community. We together represent one community known as Emmanuel Church, but within us, as a church, there are many smaller communities engaged in particular activities. And as I started to think about this, I thought about how the children of Israel functioned. They were the children of Israel, but they were made up of 12 distinct tribes. And each tribe had its own identity. Each tribe indeed had its own history. Each tribe had its own place in the establishment of the kingdom. Each tribe had its own allocation of land. Each tribe, in a sense, had its own job to do. And it was as each tribe was strengthened, so the people of God as a whole were strengthened. The people of Israel were strengthened as each of the tribes took up their calling in God and fulfilled their purpose in him. And it really struck me how similar that is, in a sense, to how we function as a church. We don't necessarily call them tribes, but we have groups of people who are engaged upon particular activities within the church. And as each of those groups are strengthened and established, so we all benefit together as a body. In the New Testament, it speaks of the church being a body in 1 Corinthians 12. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. Though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. And it goes on about how each part of the body needs to fulfill its purpose in order for the entire body to be healthy. And I want us to consider how we build up the communities within us as a larger community. And we have many, many communities represented among us here this morning. And new ones God will bring through. And every subgroup, every functioning gathering within us needs to be seen as an essential part of who we are as the people of God. Prayer groups, cycling groups, football. Alpha, I thought I'd get the football in. Alpha. Missional groups, children's workers, have we heard from Pete? Musicians, peer, and we can go on and on and on. Every one of those is a group, a community within us as a community, and each of those smaller communities needs to be strengthened and established so that we can all benefit enormously from the gifting God has placed within that particular group of people. So when we gather together on a Sunday morning, there are a number of tribes, if you like, who fulfill their calling, their gifting in God, starting with car park, then you come into the stewards, you get your coffee, you're shown to a seat, someone's put the seats out. We tend to think, they're just magic, by magic, they arrive. No, they have to be put out. And then we're blessed by the musicians. And then you may be blessed by other parts of the meeting. Who knows? But what we find is that when one part of the body doesn't function, when one tribe, if you like, doesn't turn up and do what they were asked to do, we all suffer. We rely on one another. So One day, there will come a day where there will be a crisis hits us as a community. Because the coffee team won't turn up. Well, we have a strategy to overcome that eventuality. We're going to give everyone, the stewards on the way in, everyone is going to be given an empty cup. And you can pretend. And all you got to do is wander around. And everybody will be happy that I've got a cup. I can wander around, pretend I'm drinking. But we suffer when a community doesn't do its work. And we need to honor the different communities within this fellowship. We need to seek to strengthen the different communities within this fellowship, because when each and every one of those does its work, we are all extremely blessed. You would not want me on the piano. Yeah. And each and every community needs to have Jesus at the center. So as we serve, we are actually serving the one who called us. You see, it's not simply about standing in a car park on a cold and frosty morning. It's not simply about serving a cup of coffee, being a steward. It's about expressing the love of Jesus to those who come among us week by week. And it does make a difference. It does make a difference. Often we get feedback from people who have been visiting to say how welcome they have felt, and that prepares them to come and join in the worship, and that prepares them to hear the word. Everything, every small thing that happens here among us as a community, with Jesus at the center, makes a huge difference to who we are and how effective we can be. Every small community among us needs to be strengthened. And I'm now going to let you into a secret of how we strengthen each of those groups and any other group that God wants to add to us as time goes on and the work expands. It's by each one of us taking responsibility for our own spiritual lives and giving ourselves to Jesus first and everything else after that. We take responsibility before God for our own spiritual walk. We cannot blame our shortcomings on someone else. We cannot point the finger and say, oh well, it's their fault that I'm not growing God because they weren't nice to me on Sunday morning. We can't do that. The only place we need to point the fingers back at ourselves is, I am responsible before God for my own spiritual walk. And I want every one of us to be challenged this year. How do we deepen? How do we strengthen our spiritual walk from this point on? And I want to challenge every person here that we forget what is behind. We strain forward to what God has got for us to win the prize for which God has called us. So we're not settling individually or corporately. We are pressing on. Make a decision. You know what? When it comes to us as Christians, I become more and more convinced that where we fall are on the basics. Just on the basics of our spiritual lives. So for instance, if I were to ask the question, when was the last time you read a significant portion of the Bible? Could you answer that and say, well, it was yesterday, or was it in some, you know, months gone by? It's a distant memory. Now, I'm not talking about just reading a verse. And I think one of the problems is sometimes, you know, we get these various helps, various reading aids for the scriptures, and we spend more time reading what that says than we do reading what the Bible says. So I'm asking a question. When did you last spend a significant amount of time just reading God's word, simply for the sake of reading God's word and allowing him to speak to you through that? You see, every one of us is responsible for how much time we spend reading the Word of God. We claim this is the most important book in the world. We claim this is the revealed Word of God to us. We claim that this contains all that we need to know for God to live a life of godliness. And yet, just how often do we put it on the shelf? It gathers dust from one week to the next. And we might get it out in high days and holidays. God wants us to be those who are continually reading His Word, communicating with Him through that. And today, I'm going to ask you to make that decision that you will seek to read at least one chapter of God's Word every day from now till eternity. You don't need to read it then. And you think, well, that's an incredible ask. But you know, if some of us simply made that breakthrough, what we'd find is it would make an enormous difference in our lives. If only we could take that opportunity to take that step and say, I am going to discipline myself. Now, when you get to Psalm 119, you're allowed 3 days. Now, there are people sitting there saying, what's the matter with Psalm 119? Used to be great fun at school. You'd get the kids, you'd pick a child and say, right, I want you to read this psalm. And you'd pick one of the really short ones. And they'd sit there reading it. And then you'd pick something just a little bit longer. And then you'd pick on somebody you didn't like. And then you say, would you read Psalm 119? And there's this moment of silence as they found it. And then there was no... Now, in Northeastern language, that is, dear me, what a lot there is to read. But every one of us can make that commitment to get into the Word of God, which is the primary way in which God speaks to us. And yet as Christians, that's very often the thing that falls away in the rush of everyday life. And yet we expect to live healthy spiritual lives. You can make that decision today. Equally, the other thing is prayer, the life of prayer. And I want to encourage every one of us just to spend more time in prayer, because prayer is going to be the key to everything we're going to achieve in God in these coming months. And we've changed things a little bit over these last few months. So now we gather at 9:15 for prayer. We gather up in the conference room. And in great times of prayer, anything from 3 of us to 23 of us have gathered together. And I want to thank those brothers who turned up last week. And it's Taiwo. You will go to heaven. And in heaven you may find there is a PA teacher. But now I understand there are issues with young families and all the rest of it. So I'm not expecting Roderick and Esther to turn up. But for others of us, let's join. Let's grasp that opportunity in prayer. Some months ago, I mentioned a new prayer initiative that we're going to launch, and today is the official launch of this, and it is the... It takes a while to get there, you know. And we're asking people to sign up so that 5 days a week, you will give 10 minutes of prayer to issues which will be communicated to you by us as an eldership. We're asking for 10 minutes 5 days a week. Now that gives you 2 days off. Now I know what will happen. Somebody will sign up and say, which 2 days off should I have? Whenever. Equally, someone will say, now do I pray for one topic for the whole 10 minutes, or am I allowed to pray for 2 or 3 topics for a few minutes each? We're not bothered. The important thing is that we engage together. This is a new prayer community which is being formed among us. That's what this is about. It's a new prayer community. And we may gather those people once or twice a year. But essentially, you're going to be on your own. And already someone has come and signed up and said what they're going to do is they're going to use the time as they travel to work so that they can give time to praying through these issues. Fine. You find the time. And of course, the other one is, if you pray for 11 minutes... I have it on good authority. God still listens. There is my email address. Very simple. It's this building plus my name before it. You couldn't get simpler than that. If you want to sign up for this new prayer initiative, could I ask you just to email me, and then I'm going to get the people in the office who know what they're doing to do something with it so that we can return the email with those prayer requests. And this is not to become a legalistic burden for anyone, but it is simply a means of trying to engage more of us in focused prayer for us as a community so that we can lay hold of all that God has got for us in 2015. So I look forward to just having your response. And you know, I was thinking about this, and I would rather we had 15 or 20 people who really gave themselves to this than 120 who just think they need to sign up for the sake of signing up. Don't sign up, please, if you're not prepared to give those 10 minutes, 5 days a week. Sign up, and together we can have an adventure in God. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. I believe at the beginning of this year, each and every one of us can make a decision in our heart to lengthen and strengthen, if you like, our spiritual stakes, so that whatever God has got for us and whatever life will throw at us in this coming year, we will stand strong. I'm going to ask if the musicians will come. I just want to leave it there. I want to leave those decisions. I'm not going to ask for any response, any visible response here. You know what God is provoking within your heart. And I believe that together we have an incredible adventure to experience in Him. Can we stand together? We're going to join together in a song, and then I'm going to ask those people who have been received into membership if you will come out, because we do want to pray for you. And you do not need know the person. It's great when we've got friends coming out to pray for us, but don't let the fact that you have no idea who these people are prevent you from praying. That is not a requirement. And very often it's when someone prays for us who knows nothing of us, and they just touch on that truth of God which really connects with our own heart. So let's join together as we worship.